Okay. No, the printer's not working. Okay. That's why we're here. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. Let's read the Gemara from Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph, Lamed Tes. Basically, I want to try to do this in one day, the time. So, yeah, there's not a lot of lamdos. I mean, you know, there are like little issues, but basically, I want you to have a handle on the practicalities of this. So, again, so what we were up to was we did Garduman, and then we did Kesher Elyon. So now, once you've gotten past the Kesher Elyon, however defined, now we have to continue. And what does your tzitzis look like? So what does the Gemara say? So Yosef Rabba, let's go from Yosef Rabba, okay? The other Rabba, the Kamar Mishmei de Rav, Chut Shel Krach Ole Min HaMinyan. So the first halacha that he says is know that the string that you use to do the wrappings also counts in the number. And again, we have to get to the numbers on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, 3, 4, 6, 8, v'chule, we'll get to that. Again, we could have done this out of order, but it's just easier to just go all Seder Gemara, even though conceptually it's a bit random that way. Amr Leir of Yosef, Shmuel, Amra Velo Ravit, Marnami, Amr Rabba, Barachana, Sach Leir of Yosef, Menusha, Chodshok Rach, Ola, Min HaMinyan. So Yosef said, this is Shmuel, not Rav. Fine, you know, we always care about who originally said it. But he quotes the halacha as well from our Rachana and Rav Yosef Bar Usha. Yaziv Rabba v'ka'amar mishmei d'shmuel. T'chelet shekarach ruba k'sheira. He says, if you wrap. Now, in several places in the Gemara, you just have to know when the Gemara says t'chelet, it means the tzitzis and not just the t'chelet. So if you wrap the majority of it, it's still kasher. Why would you think that it's not kasher if you wrapped most of it? What?
You didn't tie it?
No, you did. But meaning why? Meaning wrap most of it, meaning leaving most of it, knotted and less of it as loose strings. You might have thought that you need it mostly strings. The Gemara says, I mean, that is lechatchila, but if you do extra wrappings, that's also kasher. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rav, Amar Lo Shmuel. He says that was Rav, not Shmuel. Fine. Itmar Nam Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshit Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Rav Tchilat Shekar Chuga Ksheira. But what's the ideal? Right, how much of the tzitzis should be wraps and ties and knots, and how many of it should be those strings? So what does the Gemara say? So Chiyam Reider Rav Nosan, Masni HaChiyam Rav Huna Am Rav Sheshet Am Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Am Rav, Chela Shekarach Ruba Ksheira, Vafilu Lo Karach Ba El Chulia Achat Ksheira, V'noye Tchila Shlish Gedil Ushnei Ali, Shnei Shlishe Anaf. So Rav Chiyam, first of all, says that he thinks even if you tie the entire thing, it's still kasher, right? The first shita says it's most is kasher, but all of it is pasul. He's right. Rav Sheshe quotes from Yirmiya Rav and the name of Rav that even if you tie all of it, it's kasher. But everyone agrees that what's the ideal? One third wine. No. So then the next line is karach is. So you're right. Okay, it was just another position that said it. You're right. Okay. And then he says. But what's the ideal? One third, two thirds. Why is that? Why is it that you need one? So why is the ideal one third tied, two third loose, and you have to leave some of it tied? So loose.
The point is the strength.
So what does the Gemara say? We talked about this. The pshat is pretty simple. It's because tzitzis are defined as two things. One is gedilim, and what's gedilim? We talked about this already. Gedil are wraps, knots, ties, braids, something like that. And that's what we're going to talk about. And then there's ptilim, right? They're the strings. And therefore the halacha is that it needs to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that to be fine.
But why two-thirds?
So again, it says ideally just nicer. Again, it's just the nicer way, right? There's no like, right? Rashi says, noye, right? He says noy, because it's nice. Looks nice.
Two-thirds wrapping, one-third.
No, one-third's wrapping, two-thirds.
Sorry, well, why specifically?
Because it looks nice.
Why can't you do the opposite?
Because it looks nice. That's
I
it.
Understand.
That's it. It looks nice.
Why would you be able to do the opposite?
It's kasher. Remember, that's what we're saying.
Oh, so this
no
is
yay. No, yay.
I know.
It looks nice that way. As the Hebrew phrase goes, al tam v'reach ein lefakeach. Hiddur mitzvah. We've talked about hiddur mitzvah before. Again, do you want to say that this is like, is this internal hiddur or external hiddur? I don't know. Right, meaning internal hiddur in the sense that it makes the mitzvah itself nicer rather than the generic value of hiddur mitzvah, or is this a right? Which one is it? I don't know. It could be either. We've talked about this in different, right? We've talked about it in Esrog. You have local Hidur and external Hidur. Right. By Sefer Torah, you have it. By Tzitzis, I have no indication that there's such a thing as internal. But what's the Gemara's basic? The basic for it is that Tzitzis has two definitions to it, the Ptil and the Gardu and the Gedil, right? So the Gedil means this tied, braided part of it. Again, you don't want it to be completely tied up. Why? Because then, no, to completely. Because then you don't have the feel. But even if it's rove, where Gemara says explicitly, it's kosher. You could tie it all the way up to here and be kosher. Right. Right? Just not ideal, because it looks nicer like this. I mean, look, there is something to
wait,
that.
But what's considered the feel?
Like the deal is the
how
the
much
non.
Should you have to be considered the feel?
So one-third, two-thirds is the ideal. One-third, two-thirds.
No, I'm saying to be kosher. Not even the
any. Or the Gemara says any.
So you could have the little bit of
well, that's what we just read. The Gemara says even ruba, right? Even ruba is.
It's still considered the feel.
Even, yep, exactly. So the Gemara says.
Wait, which part is the anaf?
Or the anaf, whatever. The anaf, yeah, maybe is what, maybe
that,
better one. No, you're right. I'm sorry.
Is rich
no, you're right. You're right. It's anaf. It's gdil and anaf. Sorry. Gdil and anaf. Not that, whatever.
The anaf.
Gdil and anaf.
The anaf is the loose part?
Yeah. Okay. The anaf is the loose part.
I feel like that okay. Seems counterintuitive to me.
Okay.
Because anaf, I feel like, would be branch. It should be the harder, thicker part.
Or just that which comes out. Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyways, but that's the, again, this is not like you said, there's not like a tremendous amount of lumdus here, right? The basic for it is the same, is that you should have both Ptil and, sorry, why do I keep saying that? You should have, look, I'll just do it in English, right? You should have the knotted part and the non-knotted part, the wound part and not the wound part. Fine. The Kamashir Chulia. So the Gemara says, and what is this winding thing? Tanya Rabbi Omer Kadesh Yechov Yishnev Yishalish. It's that you should wind 1, 2, and 3 times. Hapochet lo yivchot misheva, vamosiv lo yosef al shlosh esrei. You should have no less than 7 and no more than 13. What does that mean? Hapochet lo yivchot misheva geneged shiver rekiim. The minimum is 7 because of the 7 heavens. Don't ask me what that means. And 13 is because 7 heavens and the 6 air, the air between, the spaces between the 7 firmaments. So 7 plus 6, so between 7 and 13. Great. Now, the next halacha is Tanek Shum Matchil Bilavan, Haknaf Min Kanaf, Mishayim Misayim Bilavan, Malin Bekozish Lomo Mo. Moridin, you should start with white, then blue, and end with white. Why should you do that? Gemara says, why should you start with white? Min kanaf, because we've talked about the fact that min kanaf, we've talked about the two types of min kanaf, material and color. Now, we saw that certain Rishonim thought that min kanaf meant halachically it had to be the same color. Here, you could say that even according to the Shishah, it doesn't have to be the same color. It's imkvar, you're doing it. It's nicer to start with the color that is the same, and you also end with white. Because, malin bekodesh v'lo moridin, that already is an interesting lumdish point, which is that white seems to be the ikar, seems to be the holier part. And therefore, you always finish with white.
Oh, so you need two factions, one to start and same as the beggar.
You need to start with white because you want to start with that which is min kanaf.
Right.
Again, we've talked about that. Again, we've talked about that, right? Material, color, is it...
Wait, but starting with white going to blue, though, is...
But there's more than one. So you start with white and end with white. So the Gemara says you start with white... You start with white because it's the same color as the beged,
right.
And you end with white because it's holier than the blue, which of course people don't realize. People think chil is holier. Apparently, it's not true. And why is it holier?
What makes the oven?
Good. So look at what does Rashi say. He says kevan de akdame kral min kinaf shmami nachashufu hilkachim esayim betchil avili morid so vatzil mitchila, because he said since we have this value of min kinaf. Right, where the Torah prioritized the min kanaf, that means that which is the min kanaf is also the ikar. So the white, which is normally the beged, which is the min kanaf, so that's the ikar. That's how Rashi takes it. Okay. Again, this is all pretty much halacha as it is, right? As it's written, you start with white, you end with white. This is all true. You try to do one third, two thirds. This is all halacha. And as the Gemara itself says, it's mitzil because it looks nicer. And the min kanaf we've dealt with extensively already. This is, again, another aspect of min kanaf. And then the Gemara says, Rabba bar Rechana, Havi Yashvi, Vikachalif, They were sitting together, and a person came by with a baguette that was completely made of tchelet, with white and blue strings, ugedila migdal, and it was completely wound. So Amarav, yoi glima v'lo yitchelta. Rav said, "Well, the baguette is beautiful. I love that blue, But the tzitzis aren't nice because he wound the whole thing." Rabba said, that's also beautiful, because he thought, do you need anything to be loose? No, that's a machmokas. That's what Gemara says. Maikam ifligi, Rabba bar Rachana savar, ksiv gdil uksiv psil. Oh, gdil o psil. Rav savar lolum psil binan, vehi gdilin laminyanu da asa gdil shnaim gdilim arba asa gdil psil. So the machokas is when the pastor calls it, no, it was, I was right the first time. Gdil and psil. I was right the first time. Why am I confusing myself? Gdil and psil.
Because the Gemara used the word enough.
Yeah, well, that's why, because the Gemara used different ones. But here, the Gemara does it. I got it right the first time. Right? The Gemara says that sometimes scissors are called gdil, sometimes they're called psil. So therefore, you have two possibilities. Oze, right? One or the other, or both. And therefore, the position of Rabba Bar Bar Chana is that it's either or. Right, meaning 100% loose, 100% right, braided and whatever, wound is fine. And Rav says no, it's one, it's both. Right, tzitzis is defined as having portions of both of these. Okay, this is the this is basically the summary of the halachic section. Again, we could get in, if you really were interested, we could try to really figure out the lumdas here, right? Why would you say one or the other? Why would you say both? But I assume it's more about drushot, right? Meaning in general, when you have two values, do you assume that you try to synthesize them, or do you assume that these are different options? Which again is an interesting conceptual question. Do you imagine that tzitzis is a combination of two values, whatever are represented by the gdil and the anaf, or do you think that there are two different visions in the Torah of what tzitzis could look like? Again, we could get into all that if you really interested. And my feeling is that getting the basics here is now if you look at the Tosos quotes from the Sifrei, who gives you a slightly different drasha here, which is v'asulahem tzitzit mashma shomei ani yase kula gdilim. I might think you make it all wound. Tama lomer tzitzit. The Yer Sifrei has a more lumdish drasha, which is that the drasha should be gedil yotzeit min haknaf etzitzit min hagdil, right? There's a progression. It's supposed to go beged into the tzitzit, into the gedil, into the loose strings. So that's the definition of tzitzis. Okay, again, we can do more of this if you want, but I wanted to today really just try to get some of the practical things down. So you got the thing I sent you. Again, so now you have it in color, okay? So let us look at it. This is a very helpful guide from the Ptil Tchelet. You have your phone?
It was dying, so...
Okay, so whoever wants to follow with me can come onto the side, or I can do it like this, but, okay. And again, I want to get mostly the practical issues here.
I kind of like the Tim Money one, I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Okay. So, let's get it. Here we go. Okay, so let's go through the issues and how to define it. Let's start with the color of the twists. Okay, they do it very nicely because they put the main halachic statement and then they do it. So the Gemara says that you start with white and then you go to blue and then you go to white. Right, we talked about that. But what does it mean? So there are three explanations of this. So Rav Amram Gaon says that the white, blue, white is the chulyot. Meaning, the first chulya is white, the next is tchelet. So you have alternating white and tchelet for 7 or 13 chulyot. And the chuliot of alternating colors are termed
like that.
Correct. Okay. Right? Meaning dope. Like this. So one way of understanding, when you say alternating white and blue, what do you mean? You could mean that the strings are alternating white, blue, white, blue, white, blue. You could mean that it's
only blue, like,
right? It could be that, so the Rambam holds, we've read this before, that it's the first twist of the first chulia, and the last twist of the last chulia are white, and all the others are chelet. Right? Meaning the only information we have in this Gemara is that you start with white, end with white, and blue in the middle. The question is, well, how much you alternate in the middle? So the Rambam says, it's white at the beginning, white at the end, and when the Gemara ambiguously says in the middle, it's blue, it means everything in the middle is blue.
Or you could, why can't you say, the first set of chulias?
Oh, wait, we haven't gotten to that yet. But that's first. The first question is, what does white, blue, white mean? Does it mean white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white? Or does it mean white, blue, white? Again, is there a lumdish? Look, if at any point you are wholly convinced by a lumdish distinction between these, rather than the Gemara said white, blue, white, and now everyone else is just trying to figure out what those words mean. I mean, you could say that the machloket is, are white and blue equivalent, and therefore white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue.
Well,
white?
If you say ma'akev.
Well, I mean, again, but not quite in the ma'akev sense. Okay. And if you say white, blue, white, you'll say in a certain sense, chela is more definitional or something like that. Or for the Rambam, it's more of the korech, right? And therefore the korech, right? The role of chela is to be the korech, and therefore you always prioritize chela and the korech with just a little bit of white or something like that. And the Ravid holds that the twists of each chulia alternate between white and tchelet. And we'll see how all these come together. Okay? Now, right, so you see the picture here? Do you see the pictures here? So the... You guys have the pictures? I sent it to you.
Yeah, which page?
Well, not, yep,
what? So we're on page 2 of this. Right, so now they have the pictures of it. If you want to see it in blue, this is what it looks like. Right? So the Ravid thinks it looks like that. Right? White, blue, white, blue, white, blue. Like this beautiful thing over here.
What's left? The right?
Yeah.
Right? Left to right. L'serugin.
L'serugin.
Which is the alternating... Where'd they go? Oh, did the chef just come? Okay, let me pause it. Let's pause. Okay. So coming back to this. Well, at the end, I'll make some conceptual points. But right now, just to understand the shot here. Okay. So now, one of the machlokot also, which I think is interesting, is, right, you have this machlokas of whether the chulia itself, right, when you talk about this alternating, do you mean alternating within the strings or alternating within sets of three? When the Gemara says that three wraps is the definition, does that mean that you would never switch colors within the wrap, right? Because that's a unit, right? A unit is three wraps, right? It's three wraparounds. Or do you say that no, right? Each wraparound is significant and the unit is defined as the whole set of wrappings. So that's right. The machlokas that you have now. So we've talked about the fact that you have the Kesher Elyon and the machlokas about Kesher Elyon, but there is a machloket as to what type of knot are we talking about. Arm knots mostly are, right. And most tzitzis are. When we say knot, we mean knot. The Gaonim think that a knot is not necessarily a knot. It's one string tucked under itself. And I'll show you what this means. It's not a real knot in the way we would think of a knot. It's a knot, not in the way we think of a knot at all.
So it's not the knot.
Right. Now, as we saw in Lamed Chet and Beis, the Gemara said that that even though the only knot that's d'oraisa is the Kesher Elyon, whatever that is, Rava had said that ideally, where should you put the knots? After every chulia, whatever, however you define chulia, right? After every unit, whatever that's called. Now, the Rashi has this thing from the Tanchuma that you should have five knots so that you have the 613, right? Tzitzis being gematria of 600, however you get to that. It's a, right, depends on chasers and yisera and etc. You have to write malay twice, right? Sadi yud tough, 600. And then eight strings and then five knots, which gets you to 613. That's Rashi quoting the Tanchuma. And that's part of the reminder of the mitzvot. Tosfos notes that. And Tosfos deals with a little bit with the problem of the right, the gematria. He said that Rabbeinu Tam's been, again, this is one of those things that if you want every shita, you just have to go through the Beis Yosef. He quotes like 20 different variations because these are all minhag, right? None of this is ma'akev. So like Tosfos tells you, I'll just use some of them. Tosfos says that the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam was, how do you get the five knots? Two close to the beged and three next to the psil, because malin mekodesh lo meridin. So you start with two and you have three at the end. There you go. That's your five. And then on every knot, every time you have a knot, it would be a double knot so that it would be kayama. So it's five sets of double knots. Tosfos himself notes that there is no support, no source for the five knots. So he says, he gives a possible source. He says, maybe since you say you need a tie in every chulia, and the minimum number of chulias is seven, so therefore you have five knots, because you have five knots beyond what we already talked about, the Kesher Elyon. So maybe that's where you get it from. Again, all these things, I mean, I guess not hard where they come from. And then some people say, well, what is the seven? So it's not clear. Is the seven about the number of knots you have, or is it the number of wraps within each set, right? So just to highlight all the ambiguities we have, right? We have this alternating halacha, but it's not clear whether we need alternate string, alternate units. When we say that you shouldn't have less than three, does that mean that the unit we're talking about is three strings? When we say you should have low less than seven, do you mean seven units? Do you mean seven strings within the units? Right? These are all ambiguities. So how do you get to all of these krichot? So once you put all these cheshbonot together, right, the ambiguity of what it means to alternate white and blue, and the ambiguity of whether it means string by string or units of three, and whether the number of wraps are supposed to be within each unit, or are those the seven, the number of units that you have, right? Are we clear on all the ambiguities that we have in the sugya? Guys, yes, just in pshat. So how does that play out? So here are, and now the last point, I really do think that the disclaimer is very important, because if you guys are really interested in every single shita, you can read the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef will quote you shita after shita after shita after shita. But I really think that the summary from Tzil Tchelet is right, is that most of the postgam will weigh in on like one of the issues within the issues. So it's very hard to wrap your head around, pun not intended there, how that shita will play out at Hasof. Right? I mean, very few of the shita actually say, this is how I weigh in on every single one of those ambiguities of the white, blue, you know, are that within the threes, within the, right, within the strings, number of strings. It's very hard to get them all together. So what they did was they put together this helpful chart in which they put different shitot there and say, okay, if we took their shita and imagined it out of soap, this is probably what it would look like. Okay. And I just think that
still might not be what each sheet does.
It's our best, right? It's our best interpretation. And they know this is incomplete, but this is seven sheetot, and you know, it's good enough for them. It's good enough for me. If you're interested in more, you can. But so let's look at the pictures. So you have Rav Amram Gaon, right? So Rav Amram Gaon says seven or 13.
Oh, he doesn't even have the knots.
Right, seven or 13. And he says a knot at the beginning and a knot at the end, right? Now the Baal HaItur would add to this a knot after each chulya. But Rav Amram Gaon, following the Gaonic position, thinks that a knot is not a knot. What is it? it's the wrap through. And therefore, what he looks like, it doesn't look like there are any knots, right? You have a real knot at the beginning, and that's the Kesher Elyon. But after that, you have three strings. Why three? Because when he understands that when the Gemara says you shouldn't have less than three for a chulia, that means, and you should alternate white and blue. What does that mean? You should alternate sets of three white wraps and three blue wraps. So his looks like this. If you want to come closer, I sent you on the phone, but it's this one. So it's three white wraps, three blue wraps, and only the first knot is a real knot. Any other knot that you have is the wrap around, right? It's, you know, you sort of do a wrap and then wrap it through. But as they note, you could mix the Rav Amram Gaon Shita. You could do this, but according to the Binyamin Zev, you know, you put in double knots here, right? That's Rav Amram Gaon. Rav Nachu Noi Gaon, according to the Ravid, says, as we saw, that white, blue doesn't mean that you alternate after three sets. It means you alternate within each string. So you get this very cool looking, I happen to love, by the way, Rav Nachu Noi Gaon. It's really quite cool.
I was just about to say, I happen to think that one's the...
Yeah, so Rav Nachman, according to the Ravid, says, well, you take the five knots, that's Rashi, right, based on the Tanachuma. He defines white, blue, not as white sets of three, but every string switching. So you get this, and then when he says 7 to 13, that means that between each knot, you should have anywhere between 7 and 13 twists. So either white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, or... white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white. There you go. Right? Either that, between each of them, and then a knot between them, and five units, so you have five knots. So the 7-13 for him is the number of ties between each knot. Right? And he understands white, blue alternating as each string alternating white, blue, and that's what gets you this cool, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue. You can either do that 7, so 4 whites and 3 blues, or you can do it 13, so 7 and 6, and then in between 5 knots, that's Rav Nachman Noi Gaon according to the Ravid. Now, Tosfos' Shita is first a double knot, because remember, Tosfos thinks that the Kesher, which attaches it to the Beget, needs to be a double knot, then a Chulia of white and one of Tchelet. So how does he understand that? Each Chulia is, a wrap is, three, so you can see that, right? Three white, three blue. Then another double knot. Then again white, then again chelet, and then a knot. Again white and chelet, then a knot. And finishing with one white chulia and a double knot, which has seven chuliot and five knots. And that's what we saw in Tosfos, right? That how do you get to five knots? It's seven knots, of which two of them are double knots, right? Remember, that was Tosfos, right? Seven knots, which are really five knots, of which two are double knots. Why is the first one a double knot? Because the one that attaches to the beged is the one that needs to be mechaber for kilayim, right? And that's always a double knot. So that's why the first one is a double knot, and the second one he does is a double knot, right? And then the rest of them are, sorry, the last one is a, you have a double knot, then a second double knot, then the one at the end is a double knot, right? That gets you to, right? The first one is Kesher Elyon. After that, it's seven knots, which are really five knots, of which two of them are double knots, right? And within each one, you get the three whites and the three blues. Okay. The Chinuch says you get 13 chuliot, which is each chulia. So again, how does he understand it? He says, well, white-blue alternating means that you alternate white and blue. Except unlike Rav Nachman Noi Gaon, what does he think? That each time you alternate, how many wraps do you need to do?
Three.
So therefore, each unit is three white, three blue, three white. That's a unit. Right?
Okay, wait, but that's not 13 wrappings.
Right? So no. So 13 chulia. So you do white and chelet between five double knots. It's 13 total for the
chelet. Oh, okay, fine.
Right? So again, this is always the question. The 7 and the 13, is that total? Or is that 7 or 13 units within the string or 7 or 13 units of each? So he says 13 total distributed throughout. Right? You see how it is? Right? Distributed throughout.
That's really cool.
13 total of... So you do white, blue, white, not in this one. Blue, white, blue. But each of those is not one string, but threes. Right? So it's white, blue, white, not. Blue, white, blue, not. White, blue, white, not. Blue, white, not. That's 13 blues and whites, each of three. So that's 39
No, wraps? So he goes white, blue, white, blue.
Correct.
White, blue,
it's, white, so again, it starts and ends with white, but how many wraps are there according to the Chinuch? 39. Right? Because each wrap is really three wraps, because that's what it said. So it's 13 times 3 is 39, and it means distributed throughout the five knots.
The question is here, because here it ends with. Sorry, not
one
here.
Okay.
No, we're back with the Rev. It ends with. Oh, it ends with white.
You always end with white. You always end with white.
Yeah, that's
right?
My question.
So then you have the Vilna Gaon, who also 13 chuliot, alternating white and chelet, distributed between five double knots like the chinuch.
Well, this one seems different than the last.
Right, but what he does is between the first and second night, you have four chuliot, white, chelet, and the same between the second and third, and the third, fourth knot, but between the fourth and the last one, you only have one chuliot of white, right? That's where it really distinguishes, because right, the chinuch always has whites and blues distributed. According to the gruz, the last one is just white.
Because you should have like the...
Right? So the white stands alone at the end, rather than...
Well, because...
Right, it stands alone, right? You get the... Right, so it's, again, 13 chuliot. He, like the chinuch, he thinks that each wrap is three. Like the chinuch, he distributes those between the five knots. But at the end, instead of having more than one in each knot, he puts only the white at the end, as you can see, right? So at the end, you have no blue whatsoever before the last knot. Which is, yeah, that's this, right? I ordered Rivet Gras. So that's what this is. You can see it, right? If you want to see what that looks like, right? Not because I had any strong opinion on it, because I was like, oh, the Gras, that sounds good. I don't know. I honestly have no opinion on these things. I can't wrap my head around them enough. So, but you can see what it looks like. See?
Funny. Oh, interesting.
Right? That's what it looks like.
You can wrap your head
see?
Around.
See? That's what it looks like. See?
Yeah, Rabbi, you're on
white.
You're on a roll with the puns.
You're on a roll with it.
Yeah. Right, so it's white, blue, white, blue, not, white, blue, white, not, white, blue, white, white, blue, white, blue, not, and then white by itself, not. This is gra rivet, right? I mean, this is gra rivet because it's rivet on the fact that it has two strings, and then gra in terms of wrapping. Again, do not take this as my shita. I don't really have a shita. I figured maybe after this year of learning those sugya with you guys, I'd have a shita. I still have no shita. I'm still not convinced by any of these sugya any more than anybody. So I'm like half thinking that I'll leave Ravid on my Talis Katan, and maybe when I add it to my Talis Gadol, I'll put the Rambam, and I'll do. I don't know. I have no idea. These are the types of sugya that I just can't like. It's not just confusing. I don't know how you're supposed to come to a maskana. Like, everyone just says, a chulya is three, and then white and blue, and then white, blue, alternating. Does that mean alternating within, alternating without? I'm like, I don't know. This is a linguistic question. Like, I don't have a strong position on it.
Like Rav Kleinman, wear 100
for... No, I'm not doing that. That I would not do. Okay, then you have here the Rambam. I don't know who they think this first sheet is, but the Rambam, I guess, is they understand it, which is they say, okay, on the left is what it looks like if you do 7. On the right is what you do if you do 13. Right? Again, you can do 7, 13.
Where is this?
It's this one, right?
Oh.
That's the Rambam according to one sheet.
Correct. So 7 or 13 chuliot are tied with a knot between each of them that keeps them in place and separate from each other, but it's not like a normal knot, right? You can see it's a very different type of a knot, right? It's not like a knot that we know of, and you can
it's
see
the
that.
The one that's under...
Correct. It's more the Gaonic knot, right? The wrap. So you can see that, right? That's that one sort of that goes like this, right? So it looks like this. It just looks like wraps. It looks like there are no knots in the way that we would normally think of knots. That's how the... This is basically the way that Tim and Im do it. This is how, if you look at Ray Wasserman's Talis, this is what it is. It's the Yemen... Yeah, it's the Taimani Rambam one. And then there's the way the Arizal and the Razina understand the Rambam, which is this last one over here, which has all the twists, cheles, except the first and the last, and there are five knots. Between the first and second knots, there are 7 twists. Between the second and third, 8 twists. Before the third and fourth, 11 twists. Before the fourth and last, 13 twists.
Oh, so it's a 7, 8, 11, 13, just with cheles.
Correct. Similar to the way we tie tzitzis without cheles, exactly, right? And this is one of the big machlokot.
Well, if we had cheles, that's how
correct.
You
tie, so, right, this is the big, and this is one of the big machlokot in general, is the minhagim that developed without cheles. Do we now impose that on once you have cheles or not? So each group of three is separated by winding the cheles around and inside to hold them together like the Gaonic knot. So that is, again, so just to summarize the questions that we've seen, and again, for anyone who's listening, I would fully, and if you really want to know what you're doing, just look at the Til Tchelet tying guide, because visually it makes more sense than the words here. But just to highlight the questions in words, so again, the Gemara says the Til is three, sorry, a Chulia is three. So the question is, okay, when the Gemara talks about alternating white and blue, does that mean within those threes, or each unit is defined, right? Again, Lundishly, if you want to say it, the question is, when it says you wrap three, does that mean that less than three is not a unit? And therefore, when you talk about white versus blue, it must be that each unit is three white, three blue, and then you can talk about alternating? Or is it that the white and blue together make up a definitional unit of three? Hence, you can have the Serugin within. Then the 713, what do we mean about 713? Is that the ties? Is that the units? The alternating, again, right? Alternating within the units, alternating without. The knots, seven, right? Five knots. What does that mean exactly? Do we really need it? Do we try to mimic the minhagim that developed without tchelet? With tchelet, is the five and eight into 613? Is that only because we didn't have tchelet? Once you have tchelet, we do something else, right? These are the machlokot they're answering. How they answer them, and again, what is a knot? Is a knot what we call a knot? Is a double knot? Does sometimes it mean double knot, sometimes it mean single knot, depending on whether it's attaching to the beged or not, which is Balei HaTosfot, or is a knot this wrap thing, which is what the Gaonim think, and you see here in like the Rambam one, the Temani Rambam one. All those things are subject to the Machloket. What? So how do you choose? So how do you choose? The answer is, I really don't know how to choose. Like, if you go through, so again, you have a strong opinion about one of them, so then do it. Except, what's important, what's key to remember in this sugya? That in the end of the day, if you pick the wrong one, it doesn't matter. This is all the noi, right? Mi'ikra din, what do you need? You need kesher elyon daraisa. And then, what is unambiguous in the sugya that you need? A third of it should be these ties, and two-thirds of it should ideally be loose. But what happens if you didn't do that? So everyone agrees that if you did rove of it tied and some of it loose, it would not be lechatchila, but it would be kosher. The machlokis is, what if you did it 100%? That's a machlokis in the Gemara, right? But that's not usually the issue. In the end of the day, like, if you're convinced by one, do it. If you're not convinced by one, so do it, right? Like, literally, I went on the website. I said, okay, it's time for me to get tchelet. Then they give you, you go onto the tchelet website, they give you all these options, and they say, which of these would you like it tied? If you want the pre-tied, and because if you bought it, if you Parshat Shlach, they always have a sale where you get the beged for free and they'll pre-tie it for you for the price of like just buying the tzitzis usually, just the strings. So like that was when I bought it, and like I didn't have time. It was Thursday of Parshat Shlach. The sale was over the next day, so I just said okay. They said Rivet is the most often bought. Press Rivet. Which tie? The Gra. Okay, I'm descended from Litvox. When in doubt, go like the Gra. Private Gra. Done. That was what I did. That was literally what I did. Okay? Someone's going to listen and say, oh, you're a Kofa, you don't have a Shita, you're Amaretz. Maybe I'm Amaretz. All of them are Kasher because all you need is Kesher Elio. After that, the Gemara says, everything is, after that, nothing is Doraisa. Right? So any of them, once you have the Kesher Elio, remember, this is what's important to remember. The question of one, two, or four strings matters, right? One, two, or four strings matters. Once you have a sheet on that, which I'm still not sure I have a strong sheet on that, but once you pick that, and you tie the kesher elyon, everything after that is about what looks nicest, right? This is all within the noi. If you get it wrong, you're yotzei. And Maybe you have a strong shita. I don't know. Did anyone read through it and like you were totally convinced by the end and said, oh, it clearly meant alternating units of three. It clearly meant alternating within units. I don't know. Right? Like, rove of the shita think that the alternating is each unit is of three. Right? So if you look at them, the majority is like that.
It seems like it's 13 total, not 13 of each.
Fine. But you know, now some people, I'll be honest, paskin this based on like klalim that they have of like, I always paskin like the Rambam, or I always paskin like Tosfos, or I always paskin like, if you have a klal like that, go. Like, from what I've heard, Rabbi Rabinovich paskin that way. That someone once, a few weeks ago they were having the fundraiser for Ma'ale Adumim, so someone posted that he was talking about the way Rabbi Rabinovich paskin. So he said, I went to Rabbi Rabinovich and I said, Rebbe, you know, I really learned this again. I'm totally convinced that the Rivet is right. So I want to wear two strings. And Rabinovich said to him, I'm very glad that you're convinced of the Rivet, but we pass him like the Rambam. Put one string. And certain people just have klalim like that, right? Rosh Hechter says, we're Ashkenazim, we passing like Tosfos. The Mishnah Berurah passing it away in Gardumin. So do too. Other people are like, I don't have such rules. So based on how I understand the Zugya, and certain people, look, like I said, I'm descended from Litvak, so when in doubt, I went with the Gra. Is that a rule? No, it's not a rule. I just didn't know what to do. So I just, and I had a few hours before the sale was over. So I picked.
Makes sense.
Right? And honestly, what was my scenario? I said, look, what's the worst that'll happen? I'll untie, if I'm totally convinced by a different cigar, I'll untie it and retie it. Right? Like, not a big deal. I can untie my tzitzis and retie them. At the moment, I haven't done it. Why? Because even having looked at the sugya, I'm not convinced by anyone or more than the other. I have no idea. I'm totally baffled by the sugya, right? Like, I don't have any strong opinions on it. So I'll probably stick with what I have, right? And like I said, maybe because I'm not sure, I'll put Rambam on my talis, or I'll put one on my weekday talis and one on my, I don't know. But at least with this picture, do you guys have at least, I think these pictures are very helpful. It gives you an idea of what's going on. Without the pictures, I'm totally lost. With the pictures, I at least have a vague understanding of what this sugya is supposed to look like. And I understand conceptually where they are arguing. Again, what is the switching of white and blue? Is it of units? Is it of units of three? Single strings? And all that. But I don't really have any strong opinions. Okay, is that a good summary? You understand it? Good. I wanted to make one halachic point, one lumdish point, and this is just from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer just says as follows. And he says, he just doesn't understand this whole concept of what does this mean, no less than seven, right, no more than 13. How exactly do you conceptualize that model? And he says, look, why don't you just say that you can add as many as you want? Right? I mean, what is this notion of like minimum seven, maximum 13? Right? Either there's a minimum and then you go on forever. Like he said, like candles for Shabbos. There's a minimum. Why is there a minimum? Zachar v'shamor, you need two. And then after that, how many candles do you have?
Whatever
you want, right? There's a minimum, and after that, as many as you want, right? Family. So some people have this minhag of putting as many candles as people in their family.
If you miss a week,
right?
One.
Someone told me that they were giving a shir on it, and someone emailed them and said, my minhag is to have, it was like 64 candles. Okay, I don't know. Whatever you want, I don't know. Whatever you want. I don't know where these minhagim come from, but how many do you need? Two. And after that, you could do as much as you want. So he says, I don't understand. Why is it that sometimes in halacha you find there's a minimum and after that you do whatever you want? Sometimes there's a shear, no more, no less. But what is this notion of a range? Right, that's really his question. Right? Again, certain things in halacha, there's a minimum and after that you want to add. Certain things in halacha, no more, no less. Right? One esrog and that's it. But like hadasim, how many hadasim do you need? Minimum of three, and after that you can add as many as you want. You'll see that sometimes the Teimanim will have like a million hadasim. Right? A huge esrog and a million hadasim. Could you allow to add? What is this notion of a range between this and that? Now, where do we get it? We get it also by Havdalah. Havdalah, the halacha is that you're supposed to put, you have to mention a minimum of, right? The Gemara says you have a minimum and a maximum number of Havdalot that you're allowed to mention. Also 7 and 13. If I remember correctly. Right, so why is that the case? Right, what does this mean? Why would you have a range? This is what he says. And his context is Havdalah. So I'll just read it for you. He says, V'hine, b'ha damrin b'shas lo yivchot mishlosh v'yosev al shefa. Sorry, by Havdalah it is not 7 and 13. It's between 3 and 7. Sorry. Between 3 and 7. Kasva tells me, Shum denitka nege davar ma kemo b'chul yur tibetizil yivchot mishav lo yivchot al shlosh esrei. So Tosafot there says, why by Havdalah do you say between 3 and 7? So he says it's the same vort here. What's the conceptual model? Is that if you have a symbolic thing for the lower limit and a symbolic thing for the upper limit, that's when you're going to have a range. B'Shabbos Korin Sheva V'lo Yitchar Mosifin V'Negvet Shorem Melech. He said, I don't understand. By Aliyot on Shabbos, we say minimum of 7 Aliyot because parallel to the Roei Pnei HaMelech, but then we let you do as many more Aliyot as you want. Why? If the 7 was symbolic, why are you let to add? Or the Psukei Malchiot, where on Rosh Hashanah we have 10 Psukim of Malchiot, 10, right, etc., but you're allowed to add. But why? The choice of 10 was symbolic. So why there do we not say stick with the symbolic thing? Right? I understand what Tosfos is saying, is that if you have a symbolic lower limit, a symbolic upper limit, then you should stick between them. But why then, when you have symbolic minimums, don't we say stick to the symbolic minimum? Right? If you think that there's this notion of symbolic, so what is this notion of a range if in other, if it's about symbolic ranges, so then when you only have one symbolism, then you should stick to the symbolism. So what does this mean? So he says, "Manir lefiya naiti bazeh, devad I beseder havdalu lui tekon chazal mechi tesi lazav chuliot klal. Vafil loy osim shlish biyom vegam chuliot loy osim vehem amru vehem amru vein lashano. Masha engin v'alken ner Shabbos the mitzvah larbat manira." And he says, "There's not like a super huge thing." He says, "It's just worth making." He said, "Look, by Nerut Shabbos, the symbolic thing is a minimum. Why are you allowed to add more candles?" Because there's a svara to have more candles. What's the svara? Light. Right? Meaning, he says, look, what is the nature of the number of candles you have to have? There's a symbolic minimum, but what is the purpose of candles? Light, kavod Shabbos, and therefore, why is there no maximum? Because the symbolism defines the minimum, and after that, you can put as many as you want because the whole notion of candles is rational. So the symbolism just defines the minimum, and after that, do whatever you want. Why by tzitzis is there a range? Because if you didn't have the symbolism, would you know to make wraps? No, like the whole category is a chiddush. So once the category is a chiddush, therefore you need symbolism for the minimum and the maximum. Because, like, by candles, the whole institution makes sense. You have light. So the symbolism just says there's a minimum. But after that, do what you want. Because if you say, look, you can't tell me that I can only have 10 candles. I need 20. There's a blackout. So then we would say, fine, just make sure you have 2. But by tzitzis, if I didn't tell you you needed wraps, how many wraps would you put? 0. If I didn't tell you. Like, if you didn't know. Right? So he's saying, so therefore the symbolism is important both for the minimum and the maximum because the whole category is a chiddush.
Right.
Like there's no logic behind it. And therefore you need symbolism to back up the minimum and the maximum. Mm-hmm. By Shabbos, that's not true. You just need symbolism to tell you the minimum. And he says, similarly by Kriyas HaTorah, we say that Shabbos, the minimum is 7 because of the symbol. But why are you allowed to add? So he says it's very simple. The Gemara says, because during the week, are you allowed to have osafot?
No,
because people need to go to work. On Shabbos, they need to go to work?
No.
No. Does that, so therefore, are there any limits to how many aliyot you have? No. There's a minimum symbolic number. And then after that, you want to add. In general, you should be allowed to add, but people need to go to work. On Shabbos, you don't have that. Mimela, the maximum falls away.
But that doesn't work for Yom Tov, though. Yom Tov also, we don't have
osafot. Okay, different story. I don't want to get into each one, but you have reasons for that also. He said the same thing is true on Rosh Hashanah, right? We have a symbolic minimum number of psukim, but each pasuk is praise of God. Do you need to minimize how much you praise God? No, so add as much as you want. So basically his logic is as follows. Minimums are defined, and after that, if the category makes sense, so then you can always add. I can have more light, I can have more Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if the whole category is Gzeiras HaKasuv, so then you need symbolism to justify any implementation of it, and therefore you have minimums and maximums. That's basically his logic for how he got to the same is true by Havdalah, right? By Havdalah, you wouldn't know that you have to do a certain number of Havdalahs. We said a minimum and a maximum, and by the Chulio, the same thing. So that's what he says. Okay, those are just some thoughts on this. We'll move on. Then tomorrow, I guess, we'll do something in Hanukkah. If I'm lazy, I'll do a sugya I've done before and then bore myself. If I'm not lazy, I'll come up with something that won't bore me. I don't know. We'll come up with something. Okay.